Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, for the gift of your Son. The gift that we are called to minister through the giftings that are being manifested in our lives, through the gift mix that is being developed in us, O God. We are called to stand, O Lord, in the positions that you have given us, so that we will minister, O God, the glorious wonder of your Son, Father, into a dying world, Lord. We want to bless you and thank you, O God, for the awesome reality of the gospel that you are manifesting into the tablets of our heart as a covenant of grace, as a covenant of love, as a covenant of power, as a covenant of your faithfulness, as a covenant of your goodness, as a covenant, O God, of life, O God, that you have given us, O God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of promise, Lord, who brings to us the realities of all that is written and manifested in your word, Father. And we thank you, O Lord, that as the Holy Spirit works in us and makes us ministers of the new covenant, there is so much that we have that we can look forward to, Father, in receiving, realizing, and expressing. We pray that we will always stand before you, Father, by the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, so that we will truly minister, breaking every stronghold of the law of sin and death, Lord, destroying the yokes of sin and death, Lord, and manifesting, O God, the freedom and liberty of truth, Lord, that comes by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the privilege of belonging to you. We thank you for the privilege of having received, O God, a revelation, O God, of Jesus Christ in our hearts. We thank you, O God, for the privilege of an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the privilege of carrying the witness of the cross within us, of having resident within us a power that works within us. And that power is designed to grow in us so that we will receive and realize exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think, in accordance with the power that is being developed in us, Father. And we realize that the potentials in each and every one of our lives are actually limitless, Lord. That you have called us to be morning stars. And as we rise, O God, in a growing Passover, as we realize our position of being tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty, we are a chosen people. We are a people called forth to be a blessing to nations, O God. And as we begin with humble beginnings, O God, enable us, O God, to be fully yielded vessels of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be fully yielded vessels of the Holy Spirit, to be fully yielded vessels to you, Holy Father. Come and indwell us. Come and enable us, O God. Come and anoint us, O God. Come and gift us, O God. Come and enable us to proclaim all things in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, to proclaim all things by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, so that we will be the blessing, O God, that you have ordained us to be from the foundations of the world. We thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And as we begin to realize what you have predestined us to be, O God, Father God, we bow before you with humility and gratitude and thankfulness for what you carry in your heart of each and every one of us. We want to thank you and bless you, Lord, that we are your chosen. We are your children, Lord. We want to bless you, Lord, that the spirit of adoption within us cries, Abba, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Today we want to talk about putting it all together. We have talked about gift inclinations. We have talked about the types of ministries there are in the church. We have talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How do we see the whole thing together? Peter tells us that we minister the gift. And we minister the gift with our heart and with our mouth. Our heart carries the enabling power of God, the anointing. Our mouth proclaims the witness and testimony of Jesus. Our mouth proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our mouth proclaims what God has gifted us with. And what God has gifted us with is fundamentally Christ Jesus. It is His fullness that we are called to receive and realize. And every anointing, every gifting is just a means by which we are enabled to give expression to Jesus Christ. If you operate a gift of healing, you're operating a gift of healing with the intent of giving expression to Jesus the healer. If you're a pastor and you are shepherding the flock, you are shepherding the flock so that they will be alive to Jesus Christ, who is their shepherd. That they will be alive to the fact that Jesus is with them. If you're an evangelist, you're opening people to the reality that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the lifeline to God. If you are a prophet, you are gifted with the opportunity of presenting Jesus as one who brings promise and opportunity to people's lives. That you have the opportunity to open directions for people's lives in the name of Jesus. In terms of what Jesus has called people to become or be. What Jesus wants to release people from. What Jesus wants people to understand and know. So, we are called to minister. As ministers of the new covenant, we said that. At the fundamental level, assuming that you are born again, today, God would begin in your life by opening to you the gift inclinations that He has for you. Hypothetically, if we were born again today, God would immediately, His first plan over your life would be to cleanse you and to release you from your bondages and open you to the gift inclinations that He wants to develop within you. And that will be what the Word of God will start doing inside of you. It will open to you the gift inclinations that God wants you to have. And we talked about gift inclinations by picking out one specific passage in Romans chapter 12. Right? Let's just very quickly look at it so that you can remember that and read through that very quickly. All right? Romans chapter 12. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And we said that prophecy is just simply the spontaneous word of God. So you have the capacity to speak the spontaneous word of God. Every one of us is actually called to understand that we can prophesy, speak spontaneously. And we can speak spontaneously in a whole lot of things, right? Fundamentally, God tells us in the book of Deuteronomy that the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. And that's where all this is coming from. When He says that you have the capacity to prophesy, it is talking about that. That's a gift inclination that every human being actually has. That every human being has the potentials to develop in God. I'm not talking about going to Toastmasters International and learning how to give speeches. I'm not talking about carnal stuff. I'm talking about the ability to speak spontaneously by the Holy Spirit in the witness and testimony of Jesus. All right? I'm talking about that. And that has to be developed inside of you as God takes His word and he manifests it inside of you. All right? So He says here, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Right? All of us have the capacity to minister to someone, to present Jesus Christ to someone in a particular way. A prophet, if you are standing in the office of the fivefold ministries, you will present Jesus in a particular way depending on what the ministry calling upon your life is. If you are a believer, you have the capacity to manifest Jesus in any one of the gift inclinations that God is going to build and develop in your life. All right? That He will build these gift inclinations through the Word and through the situations and circumstances of your life that He takes you through. And He will give you a capacity to minister to people. Okay, fundamentally, to minister to people is to draw them to God. Okay, to bring healing into their hearts, to bring right counsel into their lives. All right, I'm trying to give you a picture. of really something very humongous, okay? Humongous, because God is talking about big things, many things, all right? He who teaches in teaching, everybody has the capacity to teach. There is a fivefold ministry of the teacher, but every person has the capacity to teach something based on what they have been taught by God. It's very important for us to learn the lessons of life, because God is continuously teaching us many things, all right? So the gift inclinations, all right, includes the ability to teach. He who exhorts in exhortation. Exhortation is simply encouraging people, and that's a ministry inclination, and anybody can have that. Even if you're standing in the fivefold office of a pastor or a prophet or apostle, you can exhort people. So, he who gives with liberality, giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your talents, giving of your wealth, or whatever it is that you have the capacity to give. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence. There are always places in which leadership is needed in the church, right? We need responsible citizens of the kingdom of God. We need responsible people in the church who will do things without being asked, all right, who see a need and they will walk into that vacuum that needs to be filled, right? We need people to understand that we have commitments in the body of Christ to do things that are necessary for the building of the body, all right? Okay. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness, right? So we show mercy, and mercy is there are opportunities to show mercy all the time, right? To show love, to show mercy, to be able to give joy into people's lives, to bring light into people's life, okay? So these are the gift inclinations. But we also said in developing these gift inclinations, and these are not the only gift inclinations. If you go through the scriptures, you can find many other places which really are gift inclinations. Inclinations in which your character, your nature, your purpose in life is developed. Like, it's like a channel through which God wants to channel those living waters that are already flowing inside of you. So you just need to use your imagination and understand that God has opened something where you have the ability to touch somebody else's life. It may be just sitting down with somebody and just talking with them. It may be just sitting down and teaching a young person maths or language or something like that, and then opening doors for that young person to understand that there is somebody who cares about their life. So there are opportunities, limitless opportunities, to minister. But we also said that these gift inclinations have to come together with a nature and a character. You remember that? And that nature and that character is really is something that you have to receive and realize of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. So nature and character comes out of Jesus Christ. It is straight out of Him. We're not talking about our good character and our good nature. We're talking about the nature and character of Jesus. Because only the character and nature of Jesus is genuinely good. We are all called to be in the image of Jesus Christ. We are all called to receive and realize the fullness of Jesus Christ. In Romans 8, round about the 29th or 30th verse, it says that we are all to be manifested in the image of Jesus Christ, right? In John chapter 1, verse 16, it says that we have all been given the fullness of Jesus Christ. So the fullness of Jesus Christ has to be realized in His image so that we will become a living expression of Christ's nature and character. And that's so fundamental to the building of our gift inclinations. So it's so important for you to understand that the moment you're born again, and once God has cleaned you up and broken down those bondages of your generations or whatever it is that are peculiar to your life, strongholds of the enemy that are peculiar to your life, the next phase is actually building gift inclinations. It's time to show you your potentials in the kingdom of God. Right? And those potentials in the kingdom of God are called gift inclinations. Now, to some of us, those gift inclinations will develop into the fivefold ministry. So that's one class of ministry, right? The leadership of the church, the fivefold ministry. The other reality of the gift inclinations is to have the believers' ministries. And what we just talked about, you know, having faith in order to exhort someone, having faith in order to give liberally, having faith in order to be hospitable to people, having faith in order to speak the right words into people's lives. That is a ministry. Those are all different streams of ministries, and every believer has the capacity to realize these streams of ministry and develop them into fully blown ministries. Whether to people or whether to individuals or whether to small groups of people, whether in home ministries or whether in a children's home or whether in an old folks home or, you know, in any number of situations, right? There really are limitless possibilities of developing these ministry inclinations into something that will be a blessing before God. And all of us must learn and understand that as part of our Christian life, we must have this capacity to minister. That everything that God has given us in the Word of God, everything God has given us in terms of promises, in terms of anointings and giftings, must flow out of our lives and touch the lives of others, right? If you don't learn how to minister, you can never grow as a Christian. You will keep on thinking of God in theoretical terms, right? Ministry begins very fundamentally in our home, right? As husbands and wives, we have a ministry. We have a shepherding ministry, a pastoral ministry in a sense, right? And we really need to understand that when we raise a family, we have to minister to them so that they will realize their potentials in God. So we have these two broad realities of the fivefold ministries and the body ministries, all right? And the body ministries is available to every one of us, all right? Now we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are laid over all of these ministries, and that's the supernatural gifting of the Holy Spirit. And the supernatural gifting of the Holy Spirit is given to anybody the way the Holy Spirit wants to do that. And it can be given to anybody. The fivefold ministers all need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Every believer needs the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us to covet the gifts, not by fleshly thoughts, but covet the gift. You know, desire it. Ask God to give you the giftings that you want to see in operation in your life and in your ministry. Because we need that supernatural manifestation. All right. Having said that, you also need to understand that the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate as the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But there is also a living reality of power that God is developing inside of you. So that's something we have not talked about in this series. And it's good for us to understand as God develops the gift inclinations within us, there is also a power dimension that God is building into us every day from His Word. All right? From His Word. Ephesians 3:20 says that there is a power that works within us. There is a power that works within us. All right? And that power that works within us is something that God is in the business of developing inside of us. And that power is resident within us. It has the capacity to be revealed and manifested by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus into everything that we do. It has a power that it has the capacity to manifest from within us. It is the resurrection power that God has given us in Jesus Christ. All right? So there is a power dimension inside of us. And that power dimension can grow into anything that is consistent with the testimony of Jesus. It is the reality of the fullness of Jesus Christ being manifested inside of you. All right? So if you function from the anointing that is resident inside of you, this is the power that will be inside of you, working inside of you. You develop this power as you see God work into you change. This is the power really for a new man. This is the power for a new you. But the new you will also be expressed through everything that you do in thought, word, and in deed. And this power can move into anything that you have the capacity to express your being in. It can move into, you know, you can be praying for someone and that power can manifest to heal. Now, if the gifts of healing come, they will be specific to certain kinds of sicknesses. But from the inward anointing, right, of the power that comes through the witness of spirit, water, and blood within you, there is a power that can heal any kind of sickness. Are you listening? It is not channeled according to a specific gift. It can actually manifest into everything. That power that is inside of you, all right? That power that is inside of you, that is described in the Word of God that God has built inside of you. It is an all-encompassing power that God is also developing within us. Okay, let's look at Hebrews, for instance, all right? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It's talking about Jesus Christ, and it says, I'm reading from the New King James, who being the brightness of his glory, that is the Father's glory, and the express image of his person, that is the Father's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Right? The Greek word for word there is rhema, the rhema of his power. So if God takes the word inside of you and manifests it in the witness inside of you, there is a power associated with it. There is a power associated with it that has the capacity to express itself into whatever you are led by the Holy Spirit to express it into. And this is a power that upholds all things. It is available for all things. Are you with me? It is a power that is available for all things. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, it is talked about as the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Ultimately, the body of Christ will one day function entirely through this power. And it will flow from within us and it will flow out of us. And it will be the kind of power that God will give as he has developed us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, that's one of the reasons why in this ministry we stress a lot on being in conformance to Christ Jesus. Because ultimately the long haul of God's plan over your life is to develop this ability to release this power, this surpassing greatness of his power through each one of us. The power that is above all kinds of power. The power that is above all kinds of power. The power that is meant to be an expression of the fact that you are a living vessel of the living God, and he can manifest that power into you and through you so that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Listening? Yeah. Jesus describes this to Paul in a different way in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I just want to read this from the New American Standard because power is called strength here in the New King James when it should be power. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 in the New American Standard, it says that Jesus tells Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for power, or my power is perfected in weakness. My power, that power. That power that enables you to live by all that God has given you in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's something that God is building. That's the permanent stuff, all right? Am I making sense here? Right? That's the permanent stuff that God is building inside of you. I'm trying to give you a picture of something that is actually very complex of how God has designed us to function. Right? But that power is meant to be the power that works within you and is meant to develop you for everything that God has for you in the totality of your being. That you will do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You will do all things through Christ, and you will obviously do all things through Christ by the Holy Spirit. But God is not just moving in terms of a limited gift. He's moving in you in terms of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And this power is tied to that fullness of Jesus Christ that God is in the process of developing inside of you. What it tells you is that ultimately, God's plan, development plan for your being is actually limitless in eternity. It is limitless. The power that will manifest inside of you is actually going to be limitless. That power comes out of the Word, the Rhema Word. Jesus upholds all things by the Rhema of His power. It is the Rhema of His power, the power that God has invested in Jesus Christ, the power that Ezekiel tells us is given to us, right? Because Jesus Christ is our inheritance and our possession. Ezekiel 44 verse 28. Jesus Christ is our inheritance and He is our possession. As Jesus Christ is realized inside of us as our inheritance and as our possession, right? There is this power that comes with Him. It is the power that He developed in His testimony. The testimony of Jesus is our heritage in eternity. It belongs to us, the testimony of Jesus. And this testimony of Jesus is ultimately going to be something that is manifested through us in everything that we become. In everything that we become. So God is in that process of building that inside of you as well. Inside of you as well. All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. All right? Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or even think, but it's according to the power that works within us. But the power that works within us is a power that is in situ inside of you. You know what I mean by in situ? It's an engineering term. It means that it's already resident inside of you. The moment the seed of Christ was planted inside of you and you were born again, you saw the manifestation of that power. It made you alive to so many things. It brought changes in your character. It made you alive to understanding things from God. It made you alive to hearing God. It made you alive to being able to see that God's real. And it gives you a small example of that power flowing into a whole bunch of things. Right? So as God gives you the Word, this power will ignite that Word and make that Word live in you and live through you. Can you see that? And that too is what God is developing inside of you. So when we talk about gift inclinations, right? The gift in a real essential sense is the gift of the Son, who is the Word of God. And the Word that comes to you in the testimony of Jesus gives expression to the fullness of Jesus Christ inside of you. And just as when you see the ministry and life of Jesus and the things that He did, you begin to understand that God has ultimately for each and every one of us something along those lines. And Jesus said, "In My name you will do far greater things than these." Now He's talking about a power that is to be made resident within us. Okay, this is beyond the gifts. Okay, are you with me? The only problem with this power is that it takes time to develop. It takes time to develop. It develops in consonance with you and me being fashioned in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. It will not manifest any other way. Are you with me? Right? As we put on Christ, as we are fashioned and formed in His character and His nature, this power grows inside of us and it will flow out of us. So there is this fundamental realm of power that God is building inside of us, and it's meant to express the totality of our state of being. And it will also enable us to function through the anointings that come upon us. The anointings that come upon us enable us to arise beyond what is inbuilt inside of us. In a sense, the gifts of the Holy Spirit tend to give us that sort of an appreciation, to rise beyond what we have already actualized within us. And we can function beyond what we have realized in Jesus Christ through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense here? All right? Can you see that? But you really need to understand that the power that God is putting inside of you is a limitless. It is, has got limitless potentials. That's why in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, he says that the word inside of you, the prophetic word inside of you, has the potentials of dawning in your heart and manifesting as a morning star. Right? If you look at the sun, the power in the sun is in the sun itself. Are you with me? Yeah? It is inside the sun itself. So what is a morning star? It's really literally a ball of fire. What is in that ball of fire? It is a manifestation of power. When God gives you word, that word is going to be a channel for the expression of that power. And that expression of that power is available to every one of us. So we will probably see that kind of a power manifest probably in the age to come. Let me show you that, okay? Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 4 and 6, okay? 4 and 5. Verse 4 talks about, I don't want to take it in the context it is given here. In the context it's given here, it's talking about people who have fallen away, all right? We don't want to look at people who have fallen away. We just want to look at what it's pointing to. It says that we are to be enlightened so as to have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. All right? But what is being mentioned here is already being manifested within us. There will be people who will actually even realize this power in this age. A few people. But in general, this power will be manifested in the age to come. But the age to come is already something that is being prophetically built inside of you today. Are you listening? Why is it being built inside of you today? Because the seed of the word has been planted in you. Right? Christ crucified the power of God. The word of the cross is the power of God. Now the word of the cross is already inside of you. Right? It is being developed. Right? What God is saying is, once I have fashioned your character and your nature, I can then manifest power through you so that you can do literally anything you want in the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you, it will be done for you. Yeah? I'm talking about that power, all right? Okay, I'm not talking about the power that manifests through gifts that come, all right? Okay, I'm trying to tell you that the power that God has given us has got a humongous potential. So don't get tired of your Christian life. Right? Understand that there is something that God is doing inside of you that is very, very powerful. It will take time, right? That's why in the book of Zechariah it says, it's not by power, it is not by might, it is by my Holy Spirit, right? It is by the Spirit, right? So here in Hebrews chapter 6, he says, you become partakers of the Holy Spirit. You can only become partakers of the Holy Spirit through the witness and testimony of Jesus. Are you with me?
Yeah? And the witness and testimony of Jesus is alive in you in spirit, water, and blood. Jesus partook of the Holy Spirit all the time. It actually, his partnership with the Holy Spirit was alive to him at all the time. He functioned in it all the time. It was the means by which he lived. Right? So, the Holy Spirit being called the Spirit of life, where was that established? It was established in the life of Jesus. It was established in the life of Jesus. Are you with me? Okay. So you need to understand that there is a reality in which there is a power that the Holy Spirit will bring alive in us. That power that God consecrated in the life of Jesus, and it's meant to be developed in each one of us. So don't get jealous about guys standing in the fivefold ministries. Or why am I left out? God has not left you out of anything. Right? What God has given you, what God is building inside of you, it has the limitless potential, right, of God's word. It is available to you, right? Are you with me? I want you to understand that. All right, so when we look at the whole thing together, you see that God is doing a work inside of you and me at many different levels, all right? So through the gift inclinations, God is building you into a realization that you are a chosen vessel of the Lord. And this chosen vessel of the Lord is going to be manifested with a power that is actually called the power of the age to come. But that power is already inside of you. It is already being developed inside of you. So when we talk about conformance to Christ, you really need to understand how vital Jesus Christ is to your future. How vital it is, how vital Jesus Christ is to you being blessed. It is all in him. It does not come any other way. You cannot carnally realize what I'm talking about. You can carnally operate a gift. But this this indwelling power, you can never operate except in and by and through conformance to Jesus Christ. It will never open to the carnal man. In a real sense, God is testing us with the gifts, whether you really want to handle the power the right way. And if we mishandle that power by manifesting it in the wrong way, we will be taught a few lessons that we need to learn before we can move into the next phase of our development and growth in God. Are you with me? Yeah? Okay? All right. So we go back to Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6. Let's read it in this context. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Hello. So in a real sense, it is only people who have come into that kind of a reality of Jesus Christ who can blaspheme God. Right? So you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's why Paul writes and says, if you destroy the temple of God, God will destroy you. So it's so important to understand that all this is tied to the revelation of Jesus Christ. All this is tied to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as we look at ourselves today, it's so important for us to understand that everything we do has to be developed in the right way. And the right way is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the bread of life. If you eat of the bread, you will be perfect. If you don't eat of the bread and you want to eat other kinds of bread, then you are going to find out that it's not the real thing. See, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's giving you a very simple picture of how you can grow in God in perfection. All you have to do is eat the bread here. What's so difficult about that? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to, you know, we have come up with all kinds of religious mumbo jumbo about how you must stand on your head, balance on one finger, and fast 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus simply says, I am the bread of life. If you eat the bread that is of me, right? and you realize the testimony that is of me, and just remember to give me the glory, you will grow. And there's nothing the devil can do to stop you. It is when we start getting ideas that we can pay the price and we can do this and I am special and I am the only anointed man, you know, come to me and when I lay hands you will be anointed, otherwise God won't move. That's when you start getting into trouble. If you can just simply understand, right, that you have to give Jesus Christ the glory and you can just grow in that, the potentials in your life and my life are limitless. It will grow forever. Right? So you are prideful, you are selfish, you are self-centered. All of us have got that mix. You have a different mix. I have one kind of mix. You have another kind of mix. Right? God's solution for it is that you eat the bread of life. And He will perfect that bread into you and you will change. So He says, set your hope on Jesus Christ so that the substance of your faith will be of Jesus Christ and the evidence of your faith will be Jesus in you. And Jesus in you will be perfect. What's so hard about that? Am I speaking Greek? Am I making sense here? Yeah? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. How does the light of the world manifest inside of you? Very simple. Jesus said, if you receive revelation, you will have light. So if you're willing to sit at my feet and let me reveal myself to you, the light will come in, and when the light comes in, the darkness will go out. So he simply says that the prophetic word is made more sure in your heart. Just pay attention to it. It will grow. And when it grows, it will become like a morning star. Now, just imagine if we took the entire sun and put it inside of your heart. Will there be any darkness inside of you? No. But we have got all these religious ideas about, you know, the basic problem with us is I must be more superior than you. That is our basic problem. I must be always be better than you. How can you be my equal? Huh? And subconsciously, because of that desire to lord it over somebody else, we come up with all these wonderful theories to show why we are better than you are. That's why I keep saying you cannot pay the price. Because the scripture says that God will put His Holy Spirit inside of you and He will cause you to walk. If He causes you to walk, how did you pay the price? So you're praying 16 hours a day. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, brother. Surely you must understand that the reason you're praying 16 hours a day is because God caused you to pay 16 hours a day. Huh? And He enabled you to pray 16 hours a day. He gave you the desire to want to pray 16 hours a day. How did you pay the price for that? Yeah? The power for that came out of the cross. That's why you're doing it. I read the scriptures, I pray in tongues, I get revelation knowledge. The power for that came from Jesus Christ. I didn't pay the price for it. It was given to me. I was born again and I wanted to read the Bible. Now, I mean, before that, I didn't want to read the Bible. So when I was born again, I started reading the Bible. God gave me that desire to read the Bible. I can't turn around and tell you I paid the price. That's why I'm spending so many hours. That'll be a lie. Yeah. That's why I always encourage you guys, just cling to the Lord. It will come. It will come. Because God has designed it like that for all of us. But it will become in the nature and character of Jesus. That is something that you cannot run away of. Right? What you need to deal with yourself is, do you really want to be like Jesus or not? And you will find that there is a part of you that says, definitely not. Have you met that side of you? I hope you have, because if you have, then you know your problem. The problem with some people is they don't know they have a problem. And it's worse when it manifests with a religious spirit and then the person pretends that he is like Jesus. There is the real thing, and there is also the deception as well. That's why religious people will always tell you about what they can do. I fasted and God gave me this. What are you trying to say? Because you did something, God gave you something. No longer by grace, it is by act. Why do you like to say that? Because I'm doing something that you can't do. And by saying that, I'm showing you something that you lack. And therefore, you have to come to me all the time. Yeah? So when we minister, as ministers of God, we must learn how to release people into the abundance of God. Because God is their provider. What does that mean when God says He's the provider? God is absolute, right? Absolutely, totally, comprehensively, God is God, right? He fills everything. So if God says, I am your provider, what is He saying? He's saying absolutely, totally, and comprehensively, I am your provider. Now, how do you pay the price to receive His provision? Do you understand where I'm coming from? When God says, I am the healer, He's absolutely, totally, and completely the only one who heals. Say, I paid the price, so that's why I'm operating in this wonderful healing anointing. You can't say that. How can you say that? God says, I'm omniscient. I know all things. Everything that is tied to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is part and parcel of me. So how can you say, I paid the price, that's why I'm so wise? Why, that's why I know so much. How can you say that? Truth is not an attribute of you. How did you pay the price for it? You can't. So the Bible says, Jesus said, there is a cost. Yes, there is a cost. But the cost is not the same as price. If you look at economics, right? Costs are costs, right? There is a cost. It costs you to get something. Yes. You have to spend that time. It costs you something. But to pay the price implies ownership. If I pay the price for something, that belongs to me. I can do with it anything I want, and you can't say anything because it's mine. I paid the price for it. It'll cost you something to get something and receive something from the Lord. But it doesn't mean you have paid the price for it. Because what God gives you, you cannot pay the price for, because what God gives you is by definition absolutely perfect. And anything that is absolutely perfect, you have got nothing in it of yourself. You are not like that. And eventually, when you think about it, the cost that you paid, God enabled you to pay that cost. I'm standing today in ministry, right? I should be dead by now. I would have either died of alcoholism, I would have died of cancer. One of those things would have got me, right? I'm standing here and I'm preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I flow with tremendous revelation knowledge. None of it is because of me. Absolutely, totally, and completely. I can never say that it is because. Yes, I have spent a lot of time in the Word of God, yes. I've been enabled to do that, that's all. He gave it to me, He enabled it to me, He made me do it. In a real sense of the word, He made me do it. Gave me the desire for it. So when I have it, whose is it? He gave it to me. It's a gift. It's a gift that He took pains to develop inside of me. To get past all the stubbornness and all the idiosyncrasies of my character and nature and bring out something that is of value. Right? Who should I give glory to? I give Him all the glory. What is there to glory about? Yeah? And I'm sure it's the same for Paul or for anybody else. So you went through suffering and you stayed loyal to Jesus Christ because He enabled you to be like that. So Peter turns around and says, let's look at Peter's testimony. It's really tremendous. That's why you really have to read and understand the words of God
through the Holy Spirit, through what the Holy Spirit tells you. Let's look at what Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. You know, faith is fundamental to everything in us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If that which enables you to please God is given to you, what price have you paid? So Peter says, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, because God did something that I could never do, I've got this. And the result of that, I'm a bondservant of the Lord. Why did he become a bondservant? Because he realized that everything that God had anointed and brought out into his life, right? He says first bondservant, then he says apostle. Why? Because that bondservanthood had not been realized in his heart. When he realized that God had given him anything and everything that he has, then he could understand his position as an apostle. Are you with me? Yeah? Can you see that? It's so important that you need to see that. Then he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So where does the knowledge of God come from? It comes from God. Only God can make you know God. You cannot open a book and know God. Only God can make himself known, because God is in and of himself. I am who I am. I am that I am. I am completely in and of myself. Nobody else can penetrate that. Unless I let you see, you cannot see. Unless I let you know, you cannot know. Yeah? So that's why he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you, because it comes to you by grace. By grace, God lets you know that he is your God. The fact that you have a witness that says God is my Father, that is God's grace. You didn't receive it by reading this book. It came to you from God. That's why when Peter said, thou art the Christ, Jesus straight away turned around and said, no man told you that. It came from my Father. Because nobody else can give you that kind of an insight. So when you say, I love you, Lord, it is because you have realized something from the heart of God. He has taught you something. He's brought into you a reality that he has given you. You never paid the price for it. Can you see that? Huh? Let's continue. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So how did you pay the price? Seeing that his divine power has granted you to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So the apostle who betrayed the Lord speaks. And he says, I have become a godly man. But all of my godliness was given to me by the power of God. Amen. That's true. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So you are called by his own glory and his excellence. So what are you boasting about? You can only boast in Jesus Christ. You can only boast in your God. If you turn out to be a super anointed apostle and prophet and teacher or whatever rolled up all into one, you owe it 100% to God. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you think that just because signs and wonders flow out of you that you are special in and of yourself. You are not. You are not. Verse 4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. What is the word there? He has granted to us. When someone grants you something, he's granting it to you grace upon grace, isn't it? He's not granting it to you because you deserve it. If you deserve it, he will then, right? I mean, if you deserve it, I mean, if you have earned the price, if paid the price for it, that's, you know, but he has granted you something, right? For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. So who has made you a partaker of the divine nature? He has. Praise the Lord. Shall we just stop there? What have we said? You've got gift inclinations. Watch those gift inclinations. Understand your calling. If you're called into the fivefold, move into it. You always have a ministry, because there is the body ministry that is open to you. God will energize that ministry by giving you the gifts. Having said that, you need to also understand that God is building inside of you a power dimension that will enable you to grow and to grow and to grow in the totality of your being, to become a unique expression of God's grace, a unique vessel of God. So take every opportunity to develop everything that God opens to you. Don't say, this is not for me. If God open something to you, go into it. Go into it without fear. When God opens things that you do not like to do because you are a very shy person, for instance, go into it. Go into it, because it is part of God developing the power within you to become. Right? He's building you so that you can stand in high places. Right? So that you can go where he wants you to go. So never step back and say, oh my goodness, I can't do this. It's not about what you can do. It's about the power he can supply you to do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you, Lord, for what you have given us in Jesus Christ. And it's an awesome thing you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you and bless you, Father, for the gift inclinations that are being built into us as your word is manifested in us, in the name of Jesus. As we receive and realize your word in the testimony of Jesus, you are building us so that we will become a blessed people with an immensity of power that flows out of you, Lord, into us, so that we will be enabled to do a whole range of things, Lord, that will give pure and perfect expression to the way in which you have designed us to be. So as you have called us to be your sons, O God, there is a humongous reality of function that you want us to realize. And the power for that comes out of the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, O God, that the gifts enable us to operate beyond what we have in ourselves. We thank you for the calling upon our lives. We thank you for the fivefold callings that are upon those who are called to lead the church. We thank you, O Lord, for the believers' calls, O God, and what you have opened to all of us to receive, realize, and grow into in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as your Spirit continues to mold us and shape us, we thank you for what we have in you, Lord. We thank you that all things that we will grow into are provided for by you. And so in principle, Lord, nothing is impossible to us, Lord. So bless us that our hearts will truly, Lord, walk into those things that you have for us, that we will not be afraid, that we will not be intimidated. So bless us, Lord, that we will be your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.